puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it is that time once again where we check in with Mr. Gordon Goldsborough with our segment Abandoned Manitoba, where we find out more about lost and forgotten places right here in Manitoba. Gordon, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. What are we discussing this week?
Well, when I'm out driving around Manitoba, I often see things along the road that give me ideas for episodes of this series. Back in August, I passed what appears to be an abandoned site along Highway 16 at its intersection with Highway 50, and I've always wondered what it was. That's our story this week.
Oh, well, what does this place look like?
Well, yeah, we should start by noting that there is a siding on the Canadian Pacific Railway at this spot, which looks to me like a place where either something is put on or taken off the railway, sort of a transshipment point. Straddling the tracks at the siding is a metal-clad building on tall legs, with what looks like a large diameter pipe running up to it from the ground, inside of which is a conveyor belt. The facility appears to be designed to take material from the ground and load it into railway cars that are brought under the tall building. Well, I did some research and I found that it was a facility built in 1981 to ship gypsum to manufacturing plants in Saskatchewan. Now, gypsum, for those listeners who may not be familiar with it, is a mineral composed of calcium, sulfur, and oxygen that was deposited about 175 million years ago when Manitoba was covered in a shallow, warm sea. Evaporation of the seawater left behind enormous underground deposits of gypsum that range in depth between 25 and 125 feet thick.
Wow, what a visual I have in my head right now as I'm wondering about gypsum. Now, what is gypsum used for?
Well, for over 100 years, gypsum has been very much in demand by the construction industry in Manitoba. It's an ingredient in cement, which in turn is used to make concrete. It's also used to make the drywall that we find in most homes built in the past century or so.
And where does gypsum come from?
There are gypsum deposits in several places around Manitoba, most notably in the Interlake, along the west side of Lake Manitoba, and in the Red River Valley south of Winnipeg. The area around Amaranth, about 30 miles north of the site we're discussing today, has been actively mined for gypsum for nearly 100 years, starting in 1929. That's when two Winnipeg businessmen, Howard McLaughlin and John Speer, established Western Gypsum Products Limited. They opened a mine near Amaranth, where gypsum was located about 140 feet below ground in deposits that were about 80 to 90% pure gypsum. A shaft was dug down to the gypsum, and 50 to 60 miners at a time, working in 4 to 5 man crews at multiple levels, drilled and blasted. Then they used picks and shovels to move large lumps of gypsum into small rail cars, where it was then elevated up to the surface. Eventually, mules were used to pull the gypsum cars underground. And at its height, the mine produced about 300 tons of gypsum every day and shipped it to the company's drywall manufacturing plant here in Winnipeg.
Okay, so what happened to that mine?
Well, inevitably, the gypsum was depleted over time. So beginning in 1946, the company sank a new mine shaft about a third of a mile south of the original one near Amaranth. By this time, improved mining technology reduced the need for backbreaking labor. So it also cut the workforce needed to operate the mine basically in half to about 26 people. In 1962, the company began searching for other, better quality deposits of gypsum elsewhere in Manitoba and began developing a mine at a place called Silver Plains, just a little north of Morris, Manitoba. The gypsum there proved to be of superior quality to the stuff at Amaranth, so mining operations were gradually moved there starting in 1964. The old Amaranth mine was gradually decommissioned.
And you know, Gordon, you had said earlier that the site we're discussing today was built in 1981. How is that possible if the Amaranth mine closed in the 60s?
Well, barely 10 years after the gypsum mine at Silver Plains began operating, disaster struck. An aquifer under the mine shaft broke through and began flooding the mine with water. Within 48 hours, the entire shaft was filled, and in fact, most of the mine machinery was lost. The company, facing ruin, had to find a new source of gypsum to replace what they'd lost at Silver Plains, and fast.
So what did they do?
Well, remembering that unexploited gypsum deposits still existed near Amaranth, the company returned there and found, at a site about 11 miles north of town, deposits that were close enough to the surface that they could be dug from a simple quarry rather than from an underground mine, so a little more cost-effective. This quarry began operating in 1978. And each year, from April to November, chunks of gypsum were dug from the ground, crushed to a smaller form, and put in large piles at the site. Most of that gypsum was trucked to the Winnipeg drywall plant. But in 1981, the year of our facility we're talking about, production tripled, and that was because they now had the ability to ship gypsum by rail. Most of it went to a drywall plant in Saskatoon, but a smaller amount went to a cement plant in Regina. And in fact, the production of that a whole facility there near Amaranth was anywhere from 75,000 to 125,000 tons of gypsum, just vast amounts shipped each year.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's all sounding good so far. So what happened?
Well, inevitably, things change. And in 1994, the cement manufacturing plant in Regina, where some of that gypsum went, well, it closed. As far as I could tell, so did the drywall plant in Saskatoon. You know, consequently, there was simply no longer a need to ship gypsum by rail. The Winnipeg drywall plant still used gypsum that was quarried near Amaranth, but all of it was sent there by truck, not by rail. So essentially, there was no need for the railway shipping facility on Highway 16. But it wasn't abandoned at that point. For a while, that railway siding was used for filling producer cars.
And what are producer cars, Gordon?
Well, those are railway cars filled with grain by individual farmers as an alternative to having them filled by elevator companies. The farmer stands to make more money by cutting out the middleman. But it turns out the railway companies don't really like producer cars because they involve too much effort to deliver these cars to too few places. So the filling of producer cars at this site highway 16 only happened for a short time. Later in the 2000s, the site was going to be used by a company that processes flaxseed, but I'm told it was only used for a short time too. Satellite photos of the site show that from about 2010 to about 2019, there were several steel bins surrounding the original building. And I have to think that was probably related to the use for processing flax.
Okay. Now tell me, Gordon, what is the present status of this place now?
It's kind of hard to tell. Normally, when a site is abandoned, the vegetation quickly grows up to reclaim it. Yet the grass at this site appears to be mowed, at least periodically. And this makes me think it may still be in occasional use. And now, those steel bins that I said were there as recently as 2019, they're now gone, but their concrete bases are still there. The rails at the site are being used occasionally. And in fact, when I was there about a month ago, they were filled with some tanker cars. But as far as I can tell, the plant itself, the thing that was used to load cars with gypsum, it's not being used. The quarrying, however, the actual mining of the gypsum north of Amaranth, yes, it's still happening. In 1971, the company that operated the quarry, the Western Gypsum Products Limited, well, it was renamed Westrock Industries. And in fact, this little siding along the highway, even today, is still called Westrock. But in 2005, it was bought by a multinational corporation that is based in France.
Okay, very interesting. And any listeners, if you have any updates, definitely get in touch with us, weekend@cbc.ca. Now, Gordon, can you please give us a hint about next week's episode?
Well, I'm going to talk about a recent project of the Manitoba Historical Society that asks the question, when is an apartment block not an apartment block? And it relates to something known to urban planners as the missing middle. And before I sign off, I'd like to remind our listeners that the Manitoba Heritage Summit 2022 is this coming Thursday, the 13th, a free online event. People can see the list of speakers and topics and register to attend by going to the summit website at manitobaheritagesummit.ca.
Thank you so much for that, Gordon, and hopefully people check it out. Looking forward to hearing from you next week.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.